All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fucking ears? What the fuck nicks? What the fucksters? What the fuckstables? What the fuckleberry thins? What the fuck knuckles? What is that? I like that one. Look, I don't know. How are you? Nice to see you again. I'm Mark Maron. Nice to meet you. This is WTF. Thank you for listening. I would like to apologize to the people of Charleston, South Carolina. I am not going to be there. I said I was going to be there the last show, but I am not. I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina on August 14th through the 16th of August at the Comedy Zone. Apologies to those people in Charleston who might have gotten excited and then gone to my website and said, what the fuck is he talking about? My mistake. Look, today on the show, the very funny Rebecca Corey is here. She's not only funny and a live wire, but she's the organizer of Stand Up for Pits. It's an advocacy group dedicated to stopping animal abuse, specifically against pit bulls. And she did that big march on Washington last month. She has some future events coming up. If you want to go to Stand Up for Pits to learn more, I would do that. I would do that if I were you before I get to her, because I'm gonna chat a bit. I'm gonna be talking to my buddy Jesse Thorne in a minute too, for a few minutes, about his boat ride thing that I refused to go on and that I had to pull out of last year, much to the chagrin of people involved. I apologize for that. We had to start shooting a TV show. What, Mark? You have a TV show on the air? I do. Maron on IFC on Thursday nights, 10 o'clock east and west, and 9 o'clock in the middle at some places. Tonight's episode, if you're listening to this on Thursday, the 5th of June, revolves around the very real event of the departure and mysterious disappearance of my cat Boomer a year ago to the day that I started shooting season two. So in other words, the day I started shooting the first season of my TV show, my cat Boomer disappeared. And to this day, I hope, as you know, that Boomer lives. I hope that the best I can hope for is that he's comfortably living in a nice air-conditioned place where he's eating on a never-ending supply of yummy wet food out of spite against my insistence on dry food, just because it's more practical and it's easier for me to deal with. So tonight's episode of Maron revolves around the day that Boomer disappeared. Some of my episodes are a bit touching, folks. A bit touching. But I'm very proud of my show, and I'd like you to watch it. So that's tonight on IFC, or after if you want to DVR. You know, Maron is the name of the show. Now, getting back to dates, I will be in Chicago, Illinois at the first annual 26th Annual Comedy Festival on June 14th. On the 24th of June, I will be at the Lawrence Arts Center. That's in Lawrence, Kansas. On the 25th of June, I will be at the Firebird in St. Louis, Missouri. The 26th through the 28th, I will be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. And then I'm going to be doing a bunch of dates on the Oddball Fest this year. These are dates in Austin, Dallas, Houston, Tampa, Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Denver, Colorado. Ooh, I'm going to Red Rocks. I'm going to perform at Red Rocks on that stage. That's why I went. That's why I took that date. I'll also be at the Mountain View Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California, and the Verizon Amphitheater in Irvine, California, on that Oddball Festival business. So there's that. I'm also going to be at the North by Northeast Tech Conference in Toronto. Okay, I am doing the keynote up there. That's soon. That's in a couple weeks. So, have not been feeling great. Did not know what it was. So on Monday morning, I went and I got MRI. It was my first MRI. I was excited about it. I think everybody remembers their first MRI, don't they? Now, some of you know, I've been having these symptoms. My hands and feet are tingling, and now I've got pressure in my sinuses, and and one of my ears keeps popping, and I've got weird headaches here and there, and bing and bang and boom and what have you. Apparently, because everything is going so well in my life, I've decided to reward myself with a deep and very real to me cancer fear. That's how my brain works. Hey, man, finally, everything's going pretty good. I'm dying. And so I focused on that, went to the neurologist, and he found no evidence of neuropathy, No evidence of mobility problems. No evidence of anything. My reflexes were very good, actually. He was kind of a cranky guy. I enjoyed going to him. I like doctors that seem a little over it, but still very focused. So finally, I'm going to go get my MRI. Never had an MRI before. It's a machine that takes up the entire room, and they lay you down, and they put your head in sort of a braced position, and they sort of wheel you in, and you just sit there in a tube with your head in a tube, and then this piece of high-tech equipment makes more fucking noise than I've ever heard a machine make that should be a high-tech machine. Literally, the process of an MRI is sort of like you sitting there going like, what's that sound? What's wrong with this machine? Is this an old one? Why is it fucking clanking like that? Couldn't they make it a quieter machine? What's going on inside the machine? And I started to have a panic about my fillings. Is it going to suck my fillings through my skull? Because they took my keys and they took the metal. What about fillings? Am I going to pull one of my, is it going to go on in like a bullet? My fillings are just going to pop out of the top of my head? Clearly, you know, that didn't happen. So here's who I am. So I get this MRI. I'm fairly convinced at this point that I have a large tumor pressing against the inside of my face. I have not been a hypochondriac in a long time, but I was pretty sure I was going down. So I was making plans and trying to figure out, you know, what I would do, you know, when I found out that I had a tumor in my head. And sadly, you know, beginning to drink again was way down on the list. So that means I'm a little more sober than I thought. But, you know, there was obviously like, well, I'm going to eat a lot of stuff that I'm usually afraid of, and I would probably like to have sex as much as possible. And I guess I would have to hire somebody with some of the money I've saved just to hang out and be there for the whole process. This is sad. Jeez. So here's where it gets weird. So I get the MRI, and then, there's a tech. There's a guy that runs the machine while you're there. So now I'm convinced that I have a tumor, at least, you know, the size of my brain, in my brain. And I get out of this tube and this tech says, you did fine in there. You know, you did well in there. And I'm like, well, thank you. He says, yeah, it's, not everybody does that well, but you did well. And I said, oh, so you saw it? He goes, yeah, I'm the tech. I saw the MRI. And I'm like, well, what'd you think of the MRI? How did it look? He goes, well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't really comment on it. But was it okay? He's like, I really can't. And then as I'm walking out, he goes, take care of yourself. Like that. Take care of yourself. Did you hear my tone just then? Take care of yourself. So of course I walk out of there going like, oh fuck, I'm done. Did you hear that? And now I've got to drive in my car going like, does he say that to everybody? That sounded loaded to me. Take care of yourself. Like, I got a struggle ahead. So I'm freaking out about that. And then I want to get the results as soon as possible. So he also tells me that, like, what's going to happen is he's going to send the MRI to the lab. They're going to rip it to a CD. And then the radiologist will do a report. They'll mail the CD to my doctor and the report as well. Snail mail. It's like, what the fuck? What do you got to commit to this old paradigm for, man? Snail mail? Are you fucking kidding me? Don't they realize that people are panicking and freaked out? It's a big deal. Like, it'll probably be 3 or 4 days because we got to mail it by Pony Express to your doctor. I was a little livid. So I'm working angles. I'm like, all right, look, what if you rip it to CD today and you get the radiologist on it today and then I come back here, I pick the shit up and I drive it to my doctor? Like, I'll be the messenger. I'll be the delivery guy. And ultimately, that's what happened. I came back in an hour to radiology. I got the CD. I called up before I came back to see if the radiologist had made a report. I took the report to my doctor, and then I drove over to this guy's office, and I deliver it to his receptionist, who says she'll put it on his desk in the morning. He's gone for the day. Fine. And everybody's treating it like it's no big deal. It's very weird when you go to a hospital. I had this moment where I realized when I was admitted to the hospital for the MRI that these people work with this every day. Thank God they're there. Thank God for people who have given their life to working with sickness, because we're all going to be there unless you go out quick. And it's nice to know that these people are there. And I don't know why I expect them to be concerned and freaked out all the time. They can't really. So I call the receptionist at the doctor's office. I'm like, hey, it's Mark Maron. She goes, hi, can I help you? And I'm like, Yes, you can. I dropped the evidence of my brain tumor off at your office, and no one's called to confirm my deepest, darkest fear. So I thought I would call you to hasten the process. What's going on? I didn't say that. I says, Mark Maron is wondering if the doctor, and she's like, yes, he has it. He'll call you this afternoon between 3 and 7. I'm like, what is he, Time Warner? Between 3 and 7? Fine. So I go about my day, and then the call comes. And I'm telling you, man, I thought I had it. And I'm, you know, look, but whatever, I'm a drama queen. What do you want from me? So I see the call come in. No caller ID. I'm like, hello. He goes, yeah, Mark Maron. I'm like, hey, doc, what's up? He goes, well, I looked at the MRI, and you have the normal brain for a man your age. That was a little loaded. You know, like, I mean, I could have gotten into it a little bit with him. Like, what do you mean exactly? But I didn't. I said, so everything's all right? He goes, yeah, it's fine. And I'm like, okay, so there's nothing there? You didn't see anything? He goes, no, it's normal for your age. And I'm like, okay. And then I, the guy was about to hang up. I'm like, thank you very much, doctor. I appreciate it. And go, no tumors? No tumors. He's like, what? No. And I was like, all right, I'm relieved. Thank you. And I hung up. And I don't feel great today either, but I got to track it down. So I don't know when this is all going to end, but I am relieved that I do not have a brain tumor. Now, someone tell me what's wrong with me, please. Okay, look, you know, I'm going to talk to my friend Jesse Thorne is here, and we're going to talk about his boat ride. Jesse Thorne, of course, the guy who got me into podcasting in a way. I owe a debt of gratitude to him always. He hosts the show Bullseye on NPR, and he's the Max Fun guy. He's got a few other shows he produces. Let's talk to Jesse Thorne. Jesse Thorne is in my garage for one reason.
Yes.
And, you know, I approach this from a place of contrition and sadness that I put you in a difficult position, but for me, I think I made the right thing because I'm not a boat guy, and I think when it came right down to the wire, I think I made the right decision for everybody. I don't think it would have been fun to have me on the boat.
I think it would have been fun. Nobody on the thing is a boat person. That's a thing. I mean, think of Eugene Merman.
Yeah.
So I do a cruise called BoatParty.biz.
Right.
Last year, Eugene was there. Eugene Merman showed up for a Caribbean cruise.
Right.
Wearing black jeans,
yeah,
and a black chambray shirt.
Okay.
And by the end of it, he was in the pool wearing his black jeans and his black.
So ultimately, he had a good time, but no matter how you slice it, he didn't bring the right clothing.
He certainly didn't bring there's no doubt that he didn't bring
the
right
clothing.
He should
have brought a black bathing suit.
But he wasn't the only one. There was a rock and roll guy there whose band is called, I want to say Abba Zamba, but it sounds like
you don't know who
metonymy.
Was on your boat, right?
He wasn't a performer. He just came out. He was a friends with the sound guy.
Oh.
But he's in a very successful indie rock band and was a great guy. Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember the name of his band.
Yeah.
But anyway, he came wearing exclusively indie rock clothes, like skinny jeans, and he looked sort of like Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And he had a freaking blast.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's one of those things, like you...
It's the people,
yeah. I mean, I think the thing that makes a cruise terrifying.
Yeah,
I get motion sickness. I don't like the ocean.
Right.
I don't like the ocean for sort of existential reasons as much as anything else.
Yeah. No, there's things you can't see under there, and when the water's too deep, who knows what's beneath you?
I don't like looking at the horizon.
Oh.
I don't like being able to see the horizon.
Uh huh.
If I look out at the ocean horizon from the beach,
yeah,
I find it deeply disconcerting. Because it reminds me that that my life is not infinite and that I'm going to die.
Really? Doesn't waking up do that?
I am able to keep it at bay, Mark.
At bay without water.
Yeah.
As long as you don't see the water, you can keep it at bay.
I think it might happen like if I was in like the Gobi Desert or something like that.
But you have children.
Yeah, but they're only half me. And I don't think my consciousness is transferred into them.
It is.
Well, we'll find out when I die if they're still alive.
But aren't they a distraction, at least?
They do keep you busy.
All right, so this boat trip last year, I didn't go, and I was scheduled to go. I felt bad. I had to cancel. I can't even remember the reason.
Your show was still shooting then, and your call times got changed.
That's right.
Which, you know, that happens.
Yeah, it's show business.
It stunk, but it happened.
Now, who's going to be on the boat? Who says they're going to be on the boat this year?
All of these people are definitely going to be on the boat this year.
List it off.
Okay, we got W. Kamau Bell, Kyle Kinane, Greg Behrendt, Guy Branum, Matt Bronger, Tony Kamin. I love Tony Kamin.
Tony's great. He should host the entire ride.
Basically, that's my feeling about it, too.
He should be there when people get there. He should host every event on the boat.
He really is one of those people that you wish could host. Him and Jimmy Pardo, like, if the two of them could host everything forever,
why
I
not?
Would be happy.
Yeah.
Chris Fairbanks is going to be there, one of my favorites. Moshe Kasher, Karen Kilgariff.
Wow.
The great Karen Kilgariff. Natasha Leggero
is
going to be there.
So yeah. Moshe and Natasha, was that the package?
That was the package. I emailed Moshe and invited him, and at the time, I didn't know that the two of them were dating, and he emailed me back, "What do you think of Natasha?" And I emailed him back, "Who do you mean, Natasha Leggero? I think she's funny." And he said, "Oh, good, can she come?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay, sure."
See, that was an amateur move. He should have said, "Natasha's coming with me." You should put her on.
Morgan Murphy? Did I say Morgan Murphy?
No, you didn't, because I'd remember that.
That's a killer lineup of comedians.
That's an amazing lineup of comedians. Are there going to be musical guests this year?
Yeah, John Roderick is hosting again this year. He's from the band The Long Winters, and he is like a... he's a sort of bon vivant, in addition to being a musician.
And so just one musician this year?
No.
All right, well, okay.
Lake, the indie pop group out of Olympia, Washington, the great group Lake. They do music on Adventure Time, among other things. But wonderful band. Jean Grey, the rapper, Jean Grey. Has she ever been on WTF?
No.
You should have her on. You guys would have a great time.
Okay.
And Antibalas, the Afrobeat group out of Brooklyn.
Huh.
14-piece band. I'm bringing a 14-piece band. I don't know why I made that decision, Antibalas are so good.
How does it work?
Basically, so
you guys get half a boat?
We get, it may even be less than half a boat. But we get special rooms on this ship. So it's a huge cruise ship with a million different, it's not just shuffleboard. Like, there's, a basketball court, and there's a climbing wall.
Food every half hour.
There's literally a place where you can go and get food at any time, including ice cream, which is what I tended to go get at any time.
Yeah.
And then there's fancy meals at fancy meal times.
Right.
And everybody sits together at dinner. There's a room where you can go and hang out at any time if you want to go hang out with people. And then there's shows at night, and we get the showroom at night. It's like a nightclub room or something like that.
But that's your room for the whole run.
Exactly. And then during the day, one day you spend on a private island in the Bahamas. One day you spend in Nassau. Funky Nassau.
So it's two stops.
Two stops. And the private island's called Coco Key. That's where you get a, what's that called? A ski-doo.
Okay.
Get yourself a ski-doo. Now, that's my recommendation.
A lot of hooking up? A lot of people hooking up on this thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a whole... It's like not just hooking up. There's hooking up. There's also people bringing children.
Okay. So, what...
Are you concerned?
No.
Are you concerned about the children that they might remind you of your own mortality? Is that what's going on?
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Are there events?
There's
workshops and
things? There's shows at night, and then, Carol Kolb is going to teach a comedy writing class. In fact, her and Tony Kamin, she's married to Tony Kamin, they're talking about maybe doing a humor in relationships workshop. They've been married for a long time, and Carol was most recently a writer for Community, but before that, a writer for Review with Andy Daly. Andy's, I'm sure, been on this show, right?
Sure.
It's the end of July, July 25th through 28th, I believe it is. 25th through, and it's a Friday through a Monday. And then on Thursday night, we have a party in Cape Canaveral, which is where we set sail from. So there's a big party the night before. If you're flying in from somewhere, you fly in on Thursday, we can give you a cheap hotel room.
And how
cheap,
many
nice hotel room.
How many people did this last year?
Hundreds.
Really?
Yeah, several hundred.
Okay, well, there you go. You're not alone. It's a good time. You could go alone because you'll meet like-minded people if you're into the Jesse Thorne empire.
This is not a thing. You came to Max FunCon.
No, I know. I enjoyed Max FunCon.
Max FunCon is like a thing for people who are into my empire. This is just a thing for people who like music and comedy.
And comedy. Okay, but you are the host of Bullseye. You do run the Max FunCon empire.
Yeah,
Jordan, Jesse, Go. And what are your other shows?
Judge John Hodgman.
That's your show as well. So this is for people that, you know, many of my listeners enjoy this stuff. They enjoy comedy. They know the people you just mentioned. And how long is this thing?
It's 4 days. I mean, it's Friday through Monday.
Oh, I should have went. I should have went.
Yeah, you could. Come on. You were the executive producer of your show. You could have rescheduled the shoots.
No, that doesn't. You'd be surprised how quickly that power drops away.
Mark, that's how show business works, right?
Yeah.
You reschedule my television show shoots to make room for unpaid gigs.
Sure. Yeah. That's exactly how it works. My name's on the show. I do what I want. Unless the network doesn't want me to. All right. Well, Jesse, it's good seeing you.
It's good to see you, too.
Where do they go again? Give me the website.
Boatparty.biz.
Boatparty.biz.
And guess what? $50 off if they type in Marin.
Wow.
$50.
And a lot of people are going, folks. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, it's super fun.
It's a highbrow mixer.
It is. High to middle. Middle high.
Middle to highbrow mixer. So if you just have the haircut, you don't need the brains. All right. All right, so now let's talk to Rebecca Corey. She's great. I love her. Let's talk to her.
Yeah, I am one of those people that can have a pack of cigarettes. I can smoke it get through it for a month or so and then not smoke for 2 months. Maybe or have some wine and smoke. Like, I'm not, I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't wake up in the morning and go,
You don't know that feeling of like looking forward to the, you know, first two or three cigarettes with your coffee in the morning before you go to bed at night? Like, tomorrow is okay because I'm going to be sitting at my table with a pack of Marlboro Reds and a fucking strong coffee and I'm going to get jacked.
I do know that one. You drop deuces immediately thereafter.
Yeah.
I know it. I know it well. I'm no stranger to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a lady.
Yeah. Well, what do you go to bed looking forward to the next day?
Coffee.
Okay.
But I don't need to have the cigarette. I never.
But you got to have the coffee.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Right. Yeah.
Have to. But I did smoke for, I was married, and so I had a husband who was a really heavy smoker.
Married?
Yeah. My real last name is not Corey.
I don't know anything about you.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
I know you're funny.
Well,
and you got a fucking attitude.
Wait a minute, pot calling kettle. What?
I didn't say I didn't.
Wait a minute.
Look, just because I make a statement doesn't mean I'm negating me
from the equation.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think we met each other once on the Bob and Tom show, where I don't think you said anything to me. And I'm surprised because I remember you given your attitude.
No, I did. I said hello. And then I think we even took a selfie. We took a selfie together.
Okay.
Selfie photo. When was that? That was 6 years ago, 5 years
ago. What were you doing up there?
I was performing in
Where?
Indianapolis.
Which one?
Crackers.
You were at Crackers. Headlining?
Yes.
And how'd that go for you?
Well, when I do Crackers, I usually throw a person out every show.
For what?
For heckling.
Uh-huh.
And being drunk and stupid. And I go, what are you doing here?
Friday late show?
Yep. Both late shows.
Uh-huh. Where else do you work?
I do about 10 clubs a year. I've never had a comedy booker in my entire career. So it's only just do what I can get.
10 a year?
About 10 a year. 6 to 10 a year. I do Tacoma Comedy Club. I do Wise Guys.
Wise Guys in Utah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that place.
Love it.
So why are you not in bigger rotation, Rebecca, Corey?
Because I don't have a comedy booker. I never have ever had a comedy booker.
Have you tried?
Yeah. When I got, okay. I have.
Yeah.
I got a half hour Comedy Central special.
You did it.
Yeah, I did.
In the can.
Done. Taped in the can.
Killed it?
It was all right. I don't care for the outfit. The boots were a poor choice. Whenever I look at it, I'm like...
I've got a lot of those. What was I thinking?
When I look at that, I think, are you kidding? And by the way...
And this was recently.
Well, 2009.
Yeah, but you decided. You're like, these are the boots.
Was I an adult? Yes. Did I have...
You had other choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only did I have a lot of choices, but I also had a lead time, a severe lead time.
Sure, months.
Went out, went to Bloomies And
isn't that weird? We go shopping places we never shop before.
Never.
Never shop.
And the outfit that I got is so, it is disgusting.
You're basically
and
going out there with someone else's clothing on.
An idiot.
Unworn clothing.
I wanted to say something. I wore tights in boots. Who does that?
Who instructed you to make the decision?
It was me. It was me. It was all
me. You thought,
me.
I'm going to try something new on my special. I'm going to try something new that they're going to record.
Yeah. Surprised I didn't work out bits.
Yeah.
Surprised I didn't just, you know, go out there with some concepts and just wing it.
I've done that. And then you could be embarrassed about two things. I dressed bad and I didn't do my material.
Yeah. Pathetic. Flop sweat.
All right. So you go out there. Did you ever wear those tights again?
No, I haven't. But
How about those boots?
Nope. They're in my closet. I wore them one time.
The shame boots? One time on your special?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe I'll take them out and wear them to just, maybe it'll, maybe it'll make me feel better about that.
Uh-huh.
It was just a horrible, it's the worst outfit. And there's a couple bits I did in my act. Mm-hmm. Then you just like, I don't know. You know, do you look back at some bits of yours and go, what was that?
I do a lot of unfinished bits. It's not unusual for me to do bits that are half-baked on specials and TV appearances, and then I just tag them later. There's enough there to sort of get a laugh if someone else chimes in that I'm talking to.
You don't want to think it through? You don't want to do a...
I don't. I wait till they're delivered to me. I talk, and then one day a thing will drop out of the ether, mm-hmm. and it'll be like, you know, when I'm cornered and I need it, sometimes it comes. Sometimes it doesn't. I do not write them down. It's not the best system.
Do you have a half hour special?
Several.
Okay.
I have two on Comedy Central and one on HBO from 95. I have one from 99. That Comedy Central half hour special, disaster. I got off stage at that special.
What are you wearing?
A black suit with a red shirt. I had short hair. I decided for some reason, I'm not real good at picking backdrops when they give you that option.
What'd you do?
For that one?
Mine too. It's horrendous. Yeah.
I chose a freak show banner. I thought like that'll make sense to people. So it's just a sideshow banner with a fat man and a Siamese twins and that kind of thing. You could barely see it. Didn't quite add up.
Was it part of a bit?
No.
No,
yeah, it's just an idea. I'm like, you know, this is who we are. This is who I am inside. Great. This is the people who will get it will get it.
Yeah, and the people that don't, what do you think?
And no one got them. No one got it. And the special was bad. The audience was bad. The only person that was there for me when I got off stage mm-hmm. was my Coke dealer who was at the snack table. And I got off stage after doing my half hour special. That was difficult. Didn't go well. And he goes, they got roast beef. That was my big night. They got roast beef. Did some blow. Shortly after that, I stopped doing drugs altogether.
Did you really?
Yeah. The second special I did during my tenure at Air America, which was political, and the material was really good, and the outfit was okay.
What was it? Just one detail at least.
I wore some G-Star jeans.
Okay, wait, were they pleated?
No.
Good.
G-Star jeans I was wearing a lot. I wore a yellow Lacoste pullover and a blue blazer.
All right. I'm not mad at that.
And my glasses were good. My hair was good. But again... backdrop, not great.
What was it?
Backdrop, it was a herd of sheep heading the other direction. Okay, so the idea was like they're going, you see me behind me, there's a herd of sheep.
Going the opposite, the backs.
You
back
see
end.
Their sheep's their asses.
Yes.
And they put one sheep on stage with me.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was like, I'm not part of the herd, but during the whole special, a sheep's ass was like right next to my head because of the backdrop, the whole time.
Why did you do that?
Because I thought like, you know, I'm telling the truth, man. I was, that was the end of my like, hey, I'm fucking, you know, not different. I'm like, you know, like this is, I'm political, but I'm also seeing things clearly. Don't think like the herd. That was the end of my Bill Hicks influence.
So they were like, they represented lemmings. They were like,
that's right. The herd. Yeah.
Well, it's you know what? I appreciate the thought. I can appreciate that, but
nobody would get it.
No. Nope.
Just a sheep on stage and a bunch of sheep's asses behind me.
I would just immediately think Ireland or...
Yeah, no. It were all too complicated, too deep. The framing was not, nope. All right, so you did your special and what? Yeah. Did that launch you into the six clubs a year or?
Oh, you can't believe the amount of heat that was around. You can't believe. It was like, I was getting calls every 6 months to do something. No, these are just people who, these clubs are just people who have liked what I've done throughout the years, have watched the evolution. That's what my backdrop was the evolution of me. Mm-hmm. Like all these physical poses.
Where'd you start?
Started in LA.
You did?
13 years ago. Yeah.
Where do you come from?
Well, I grew up in Seattle.
Seattle, Washington.
Sure did. Born really? And raised Kent, Washington, suburb of Seattle.
What kind of suburb?
Disgusting. It's the armpit of the state. It's a piece of shit. It's a pile of shit. It's it is
And you grew up there before it became like pristine and moneyed.
No, it's still it's still the garbage capital of Washington State.
How old were you? How old are you, mind if I ask?
I will be 43 in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. So you were a child before the big Microsoft thing, or no? Was that always there? When did that happen?
Yeah, yeah. I was a child before. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the whole Seattle grunge thing and all that. I was there for all that crap.
When you were young?
Well, no. I mean, in high school, you could go see Mother Love Bone. You could go
see. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you do that?
No. No, I was into Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
So that explains the tights and the boots, I guess.
I don't know what. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing for the rest of my life that will ever explain that. Mm-hmm. Ever. Yeah. There's nothing. That's a horror.
I went on Conan wearing a black velvet Nehru jacket. Okay. Yeah.
Was it hot?
Leather pants.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, leather pants.
Was it hot?
I didn't care. I made a decision. I was like, I'm ready to handle this. I did that. There's video footage of it documented. I went on Conan O'Brien with an outfit that some guy who lived around the corner from me designed and made in his factory.
That's not true.
It is. It was just this little fat kid who was a clothing designer. He said, I'd love to dress you. I said, that sounds great. I'm doing Conan in 2 days. So he whipped something up for me. I went right out there with it.
You just have this unabashed, you just don't give a shit.
No, I give a lot of shit. I gave a lot of shit back then. It's not that I don't give it. I give a lot less of a shit now.
Yeah. When did you fully quit giving a shit?
I think when I started the podcast, I was done. I was over. And I think everything, you know, post that was like gravy. I'm like, hey, all I wanted was to be able to make a living and hopefully have health insurance. And everything else was like, okay. But Kent, so.
Kent is where I grew up.
Let's paint a picture of the childhood home.
Okay. Dad, push broom, mustache. I'm 4'11", so he tops out about 4'5". 4'5", 5'5", 5'6". I mean, not 4'5". He would have been a little person. Tiny man, yeah. Angry, violently angry. Chain smokes Lucky Strikes. I used to eat them when I was 5. I used to eat my dad's cigarette butts.
So your dad has a huge mustache that's probably brown from the cigarettes.
He's an angry. He looks like Super Mario Brothers.
What does he do for work?
He works at Boeing.
Of course.
And he air pressure tests airplanes. So he crawls around on, they take an airplane and they blow it up with air. And he crawls around on his hands and knees and he has a stethoscope thing and he listens for leaks. And when he hears a leak, he plugs it.
With what?
I would imagine some sort of serum.
Putty?
Yeah.
Brings a little wad of clay with him and just plugs it.
Yeah.
He's a hole plugger for the new planes.
He's in charge of probably potentially our lives, if you think about it.
Would you trust him with that?
No. No. He always had nicknames for all of our neighbors, the dipshit.
Uh-huh.
The dipshits lived across the street, pig farmers.
Uh-huh. Were there pig farmers?
No, he just called them pig farmers, was idiots, morons, dipshits.
Was he an abusive fellow to you?
Yes, very much
so. In what way?
Always, not sexually.
Yeah.
But he was violently, you know, I took a tumble down some stairs.
Because of him?
Yeah. I've taken some serious, I would say mental abuse until I was 18.
And your mom was where?
Oh, she's there.
She's still there.
Well, they got divorced finally when I was 18. Luckily, they stayed together for me.
Yeah.
That was great.
So she just took that shit.
There's actually 4 of us.
Four of you?
4 of us. I have an older brother, and then I have 2 little sisters.
How'd your older brother turn out?
Last I heard, he just got out of jail for heroin. So he's doing pretty good.
He's out.
He's doing pretty good.
What about the younger ones?
One of them went to Jerry Falwell's school on the East Coast,
uh-huh.
And is a right-wing conservative serious Christian. And thank God she's, you know, married to a guy with cankles who looks like a lesbian, and they're raising these children to not
understand facts.
Yeah. Or have knowledge.
Yeah.
And then my other little sister is phenomenal. She's a dental assistant and she's hilarious. And she's really, we're the only ones that speak.
Were you brought up with the Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah.
Catholic Jesus?
Catholic. Yeah. Then I was kicked out of Catholic school.
Yeah.
Behavior issues.
That seems common. That's sure. A good source of material.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't touched on it.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like Carlin covered all
that.
Yeah,
it's all done.
We're all set.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, 13 years old, my mom decides to become a reborn. Is it reborn?
Born again.
Born again Christian.
I don't even think they call them born agains anymore. There's something else now.
Well, she was definitely, if you asked her, my mom discovers Jesus.
Yeah.
Big time. As though they're high-fiving. Like that kind of relationship.
Talking a lot about him.
Seeing, inspired by, wanting, knowing all.
She saw Jesus.
Yeah.
In things or just about?
He's everywhere.
Jesus is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
In every action, every thought, you know, all that
She got full hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Just and the whole brain went. Whole gone. Brain went Jesus.
Gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
Went to a Christian church called Grace Brethren.
Yeah.
We would foot wash.
Uh-huh.
It's a thing that we had to do. My mom would say to me, I'm 13 years old, you have to wash another person. It's a baptismal ceremony that we did. And then I got full submersed, you know, where you put the thing on, you sit in the tub and they do the thing. I got that done. Mm-hmm. So I'm all set there. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure heaven is imminent. And then they finally got divorced when I was 18. She remarried some guy from that exact church.
Right.
Dale.
Dale also works at Boeing?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Does your father still work at Boeing?
No, retired. Dad married a lady. Mobile gums at 33. Got all the teeth yanked. Has fake teeth.
Uh-huh.
They
mobile gums. Is that a thing?
Mobile gums is like if you have mobile gums, from what my sister tells me, not the really religious one, but the
dental assistant.
She knows about mobile gums.
Yeah.
I've never heard of mobile gums.
No, I haven't either. I'm ready to learn.
So my sister's like, you have mobile gums, which means her gums are like so, I believe, rotted.
Yeah.
Rotted.
Yeah.
That the teeth, they're just moving. They can move. There's no stability in the mouth.
Right.
It's kind of a nightmare if you think about it.
A lot of teeth moving around.
Well, yeah.
So she had all her teeth pulled.
Yanked.
And she has false teeth.
Correct.
And your dad is still with her.
I have not spoken to him in 10 years.
Really?
He does live in a trail. They do live in a double wide.
In Kent.
He lives at the base of Mount Rainier in a double wide trailer.
That's
and he
his
has,
retirement.
Yeah, he's 15 wiener dogs.
Okay. 15 wiener dogs in a double wide at the base of Mount Rainier.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. What is your place pretty?
Yeah.
I'm not sure a double wide base of Mount Rainier's.
But Mount Rainier, inarguably, pretty.
Yeah. I mean.
So what happened?
We can't. A mountain is pretty.
Yeah. So in his eyes, you know, he's living it.
I'm not sure. I would have to. I guess. I recently heard she left him.
Because he's. A madman.
He's a madman.
So what happened 10 years ago to initiate the bad ill will?
Well, you go through.
Did you visit the trailer at all?
I've been there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
You slept in the trailer?
No, but there was dog shit all over the place.
Because he's got 15 wiener dogs?
Unneutered, unfixed, whatever.
Why wiener dogs?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's his preference.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a negative, horrible human being.
I'm familiar with that syndrome. I had it for many years.
Okay. I don't mean to laugh, but
I'm over it.
Okay. I know you're over it, but
halfway over it.
I just don't think
almost.
I don't think
I'll keep negotiating it.
I don't think you two are the same person though. I think there's different levels of that. And I don't see you as that. Look, no. I didn't know you. I mean, we've met and stuff, but yeah. I didn't really know, you know, what you had going on specifically.
Yeah.
But I just can't see you being.
That's weird because it's readily available in many different formats, what I've got going on specifically. It's just your lack of interest did not compel you that direction. I've made it nothing but available
okay.
for decades now. I think the bulk of my work.
Okay, yeah. The bulk of your work. Well, he's he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
The guy's a piece of shit. And
so that was just a decision you made. There was no action that occurred that said, I'm done with you.
No, it's just years and years. It was a decision that I finally made after going through therapy and realizing that he's just toxic and negative and horrible, and all he's ever done my entire life was be a horrible parent, a failure as a father. And he abused animals in front of me.
What do you mean?
He, went to...
he's got a lot of dogs.
He does now, which is so weird. But when I was growing up, my very first dog, barely can even talk about it, Jones.
Yeah.
Founder... Ironically, we went on a family trip to Mount Rainier and we just pulled into a gas station and he found this dog who was in a box, just like at the gas station. They were giving him away. Brought it home. About 6 months later, he decided that dog will live the rest of its life tied to a doghouse with like a 3 foot long rope.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. And it would go... It never could run free. It could never do anything. He blamed it on us. He would just say, that the dog is barking. The dog's been barking for 3 days because you guys aren't out feeding it or taking care of it or sitting with it.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, the dog had to live in its own human shit. I mean, its own shit. Dog shit.
And your dad wasn't shitting on the dog.
Not that I ever saw.
Right.
But I
not beyond him. Wouldn't put it past
him. I wouldn't. And, just it rains a lot.
Yeah.
So it was just mud and shit and pee and this rope and the dog was covered in it. Ultimately ended up dying at like 4 years old. Threw it in a wheelbarrow, made us get in the car. And he was like, that's what you guys did. That's what you guys did. And I was like, it was very, very traumatic.
How old were you?
During that, I think it was 4 year period. So probably the dog Jones probably died around 13, 13 and a half.
You were 13.
Yeah. It was terrible.
That's a horrible time.
Horrible. Horrible. And he would do crazy shit. Like I was going to my dance. I had a seventh grade dance, I remember. And my friend came over and I had all curled my hair, crimson hair, hairspray, Aquanet, just dude it up, looking for a good...
Good seventh finger grade
banging.
Time.
Yeah,
good finger banging.
Good finger banging. And that's, by the way, that's a lost art. That's another thing. But I'm hoping it comes back.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I finger banged a girl. Is 13. In seventh grade. Yeah, seventh grade. I didn't know what to do. I did not have any craft at that time. Yeah. I was just happy to be in there.
And
wiggled it around a little bit. Yeah. Felt the territory.
Yeah.
Had no idea what it was supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
Smelled my finger after. Very proud of myself.
Now, how did she respond?
I'm not sure. I
can guarantee you I know how she responded.
What's...
Ow.
Uh-huh.
I bet she was like, ow.
I don't think I was violent.
Well, yeah, I know, but 13-year-old boys, I mean, just, like, I remember. I was big into,
I didn't have no idea what was supposed to happen down there. I just wanted to feel it.
Right.
I was amazed that there was more than one hole. You know, when someone told me that there was an asshole and then there's the vagina hole and then there's the hole they pee out. I'm like, this sounds complicated. So how will I know my finger's not in the asshole when I'm in there? Because you got to go through the pants. You're not going to be naked at seventh grade.
Right.
How do we know?
Right. And how did you?
It felt like something I'd imagine a vagina to feel like. Did not feel like an asshole. I didn't have that resistance that an asshole might. And I know that the pee hole, you can barely see it.
Barely.
Yeah. So
I mean, I've never really looked hard. Yeah,
but there's a lot of skin to get past, and that varies. So all right. So.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and dry humping too. I want to tell you something.
A lot of that. Love it.
I'm
very good at that.
Oh, fantastic! It ruins jeans, but. Jeans now you can buy on eBay for like half the price.
I used to cum in my pants constantly. Because it was like, this is something I can handle. The other thing seems like a lot of work.
Right.
I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
She seems to be enjoying this thing with the pants on.
Yeah.
And then I know that when I finish, it's over and I'm embarrassed. But,
no one gets hurt is the point.
I got hurt because I was like, why can't I make this happen outside of my hands? That took another number of years. I mean, yeah, after it really, for me to really master that, I was well into college. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah,
so, all right. So
you reach a lot of people. It'd be nice if you could get the word out.
About finger banging.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to say, Rebecca? Let's focus in. What's the message you want out there?
Well, I just think that it's great. It's easily, you can travel.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets hurt. There's never, look, you may get.
Now, are you looking to come when you're finger banged?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I mean, if you're gonna play the game, don't you want to win?
Sure, but that takes some guidance and some focus. And are we talking a clitoral orgasm or a G-spot orgasm with the finger? I mean,
whatever's available.
How much success have you had with this finger banging tour?
Pretty good.
You
pretty
do all
good.
Right with it?
I do all right. I do all right. I'm actually looking for sponsors.
Uh huh.
It's a lost art form that I think people just skip over, is my point. And I don't think we should. We all move real fast, you know, with the internet, with social media, with how fast everything moves. I don't think we have to go so fast.
Yeah, you got to slow it down.
Slow it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about
let's not freak out and.
Yeah. Why is everyone running?
you don't want to lose the mood. We got to get this thing in there.
Everyone's so rushing
all the time.
Anyway.
So you're dressed up for your seventh grade dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good memory.
Fucks that up.
Goes, get out there, he says to me, because he knows I'm just about to leave. This is the kind of shit he would pull.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Change the rope on the doghouse. So, in other words, remove a rope that's 2 feet long where the dogs can't move anyways and put on another 2 foot long rope in the pouring down rain and the mud and the shit and the pee. And I'm
dressed.
Yep. Guess what? I had to do it.
Why?
No choice. You do it or you get smacked around. Period.
Like smacked around how hard?
It would depend on the infraction, but you piss him off enough, you may take a tumble down the stairs. You may get a grab on the throat where you can't breathe. There were times where I had his handprint on my neck. Couldn't get my, you know, taking off my shirt would hurt.
So no one thought to call social services.
I ran, my mother, who I don't talk to.
Why?
Well, she's an idiot.
Okay.
She too was like, you know, She was just like, that's your father. By the way, that's how she talks too. She's
not even, New England?
No, Seattle.
Okay. Oh, that sounded a little Midwestern.
It sounded like Minnesota. Like, yeah. And she's just like, that's your father. And that's what, you know, God says that you just got to honor your mother and your father. I was like, okay, he's choking me. Or if my room isn't clean, he's smacking me in the closet. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just parenting.
And why don't you talk to your mother exactly?
Well, at some point you just go, you went through therapy, right?
Yeah, I've gone through periods of not talking to them, to both of them.
Right, so you go through it and you decide. The last straw is you kind of grow up and you just go, you know, these people are not adding anything.
Well, I can see how your father, who's violent and toxic, is, you know, there's a reason for personal and emotional safety not to engage, but your mother seems manageable.
Well, she's not. Mm. It depends. She's on the other spectrum. He's this crazy, violent, yelling, abusive, negative psycho.
Yeah.
And she is this passive aggressive, everything is but Jesus. Like that, I don't know which one it's the worst of both kind.
And what does she live in?
A trailer.
She lives in a trailer.
Yeah, she too lives in a trailer.
So they're both living in trailers and you don't talk to them.
Yeah.
And you have closure around that.
Yep. I do. I really think that I do. I mean,
therapy helped you.
Yeah. I mean, I could easily do another good round of it.
What's a round? How long is that?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know. You tell me.
I don't fucking know. People think I'm Mr. Therapy. I'm relatively new to therapy again.
Well.
I've gone through a few rounds.
Well, give me a round. What do you got? 1 month?
No, that's not enough for anything.
Year.
That's a good start.
All right. Well, I think we just determined what a round was.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't think therapy is worth anything. I mean, what does a therapist know?
Well, you know what they do? They have a chance to stand back and tell you something, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good.
Yeah, so should I go for another round? Yeah, probably should.
Yeah? Why? You got problems?
Well, I mean, I suppose. Right. I mean, I don't have a mom and dad. It's pretty tragic.
You have them. They're just in boxes in Washington. No. Choose not to talk to them. They're both in metal boxes.
I will tell you, every time my sister calls, I'm always like, oh my God, she's going to say, is she going to say that one of them is dead? I mean, I don't know how their health is. I know my dad had a heart attack at one point, I'd heard.
So you only talk to your sister?
Yeah. She's fantastic.
That's great.
She's hilarious.
You got one?
Got one. Do you have one?
I got a little brother, yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to him.
Okay.
We were good.
Yeah.
But do you ever miss Seattle? Where's your little sister living?
She lives in Auburn.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I don't miss Seattle whatsoever at all. I left as soon as I was 18, and I moved to Chicago.
Really?
I lived in Chicago for 10 years.
Doing what?
I was a janitor on an airplane.
This airplane thing and the dog thing, which we'll get to later, runs in your family.
Airplane and dog thing. What do you mean?
Your dad worked for Boeing.
Oh yeah, no, that there was no. I worked for Delta Airlines, cleaning planes, yeah. Cabin service. That's what got me to Chicago. But then I auditioned for Second City.
Yeah.
Like a year after I got there, and I went through their training program and all that crap.
Wow.
Yeah. Never got it hired.
Right.
I'm not a great improviser.
But you're a dynamic character.
Well.
You put that on a business card.
Wait a minute.
No, but I mean, well, like, it seems like, you know, you definitely know how to hold the stage, and you have a way of being.
Well.
Very defined.
Yeah.
No one is like you.
Right.
Yeah. That's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
But I mean, the improvising, do you improvise at all, or have you?
Not in a structured way.
Well, that's the problem. That's what I'm telling you. Is like, I went through Second City, and I studied with, like, really, it was there. When I was going through Second City, the main stage cast who was on stage, who I got to see every single day, because when you're a student, back then, when you're a student.
Yeah.
You go in and watch everybody perform and stuff, and it was awesome. And I got, you know, Steve Carell, Steve Colbert, Nia Vardalos, Mitch Rouse, yeah. Amy Sedaris.
Yeah.
All these guys were on stage. Amazing to, you know, Farley and all these people were there.
Were there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Great time to be there. It was. Yeah. I was 20
yeah.
years old. And I'll
and
be
you had not done stand-up 40. Yet?
Never.
You just wanted to take a class because you thought this was a thing.
No, I met one of the actresses. Her name is Rose Abdu. I met her and this other actor named Jimmy Doyle in the park
uh-huh.
with my husband. Because I'd just gotten married.
To who?
To this guy named William Corey. He was my husband.
In Chicago?
Yeah, but when I was 18 years old, I had gotten hired at Delta Airlines, and I flew to England because I was obsessed with Morrissey at the time.
So you were working at Delta at 18 doing what?
Being a janitor on the plane.
Yeah.
Cabin service, vacuuming.
Yeah. Don't like Delta.
Hate it.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Pilots are really aggressive flyers as well.
Really?
I'll say it.
Yeah.
A lot of them are military, ex-military pilots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they land real hard. They take off real sharp.
Yeah.
They hit air pockets. They can't manage it.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean they can't manage air
pockets? Let me tell you something. I've been in a Delta. I've been on a Delta flight, and we've hit an air pocket, and I thought, that's it. We were unmanageable. We were going back. It was not. You hit air pockets all the time.
Yeah.
We hit an air. It was on a Delta flight. And all the takeoffs and landings, I hate.
Yeah.
And I hate a lot of the behavior of the staff.
Yeah.
And the rules, because I was one of them.
Right.
Went to Atlanta, did the whole thing. They were home, their hub and all that. But just their flying techniques are really, really not great. And the pilots are all ex-military. So it's not like they're looking to keep everyone comfy. They're like, let's just do this.
Yeah.
They hit an air pocket. We went nose first. We hit the air pocket, and I could feel the front of the nose of the plane, like, go. And I was like, hey, I screamed out loud.
Yeah.
Pulled out of it. Just my point is that this is not pretty, and I don't care for them.
So you
Why
fly
do you not
to
like
England.
Them? Yeah.
And what happens in England?
Meet a guy there, 18 years old. Meet him, second day I'm there.
Bang or no finger bang?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was New Year's Eve. Went to Trafalgar Square. William Corey, 6'2", black Irish, chef, gorgeous, great accent.
Uh-huh.
Lived from Essex. Uh-huh. Essex is a really hard part of England. It's a very tough, very Kent-esque.
Uh-huh.
It's like a ghetto.
Was he an angry man?
No, dad died of alcohol poisoning when he was 4.
Hmm.
Mom remarried this guy who was a scumbag and abused the other kids. And he wasn't angry. He's actually very, very calm and very sweet and gentle.
Yeah.
But not good at really talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous, stunning, gorgeous man. And fell madly in love with him. Go back home. He gives me his earring. Very 80s.
Yeah.
Gives me his earring. Driving over the London Bridge, takes out his earring, puts it in my ear. Coming to America to get that earring.
Yeah.
He tells me.
Yeah.
Go back home. 3 months later, never returns a call, never returns a letter, nothing.
Yeah.
I get on an airplane because I can. I work for Delta. It costs me $40. I go to England by myself on a Friday.
Yeah.
Because I want to confront him at work because he's a chef in a Piccadilly circus at the Holiday Inn.
Uh huh.
I go to England by myself because I'm mad.
That's follow through. You had to stay mad the whole way.
I was furious.
That must have been furious because you were flying from Chicago. It's probably about 8 or 9 hours, just a flight, right?
Yeah.
And then like about 2 hours on each side. So you were mad. You made a plan and you had to stay focused and mad for about a while.
Got off the plane. A long, long time. Half a day, I'd say.
Livid.
Furious.
Yeah. So you get off the plane, you go to Piccadilly Circus.
No, I go to the bed and breakfast first, drop my shit off, clean up the areas.
Yeah.
Get on the train, go to Piccadilly Circus, walk into his work. He's there.
Uh-huh.
Working. I had no idea if he was or not because I couldn't get a hold of him. Uh-huh. I didn't even know if he even worked there.
Uh-huh.
I tell the guy at the front desk, is William Corey working? Because Corey's not my last name.
Yeah.
But I kept it. I'm like, yes, he is. Can I ask it? I said, no, you can't. You can't ask who's asking.
And they went ahead and got him anyways?
They said, ma'am, we do need... I said, I don't care what you need. I'm here, and I'm going to need him to come right out of the side service door, which I saw, and I need him to come right out, and I'll be standing there. That's what you can tell him, that there's just... And they said, well, could we... No, you can't tell him who I am. You can't tell my name. So they said, okay. I was standing there. I would not leave until they made a phone call to the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
I could hear the guy on the phone. There's a small American. She seems a bit pissed.
Uh-huh.
She would like to speak to you.
Uh-huh.
So they hang up the phone. They said, he'll be coming out that door in just a few minutes. I go, great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Thank you for your
Does
service.
Does this end with him proposing?
Oh.
Keep going. So he comes out the door.
His face looks like he's in shock, sweating.
An angry American has flown across the pond.
And by the way, the outfit I was wearing then, wow.
Good?
Terrible.
Okay.
Bad news.
Yeah, so you should have done a special in it.
I know. I should have went on Conan.
Yeah. Should have saved that outfit. What was the outfit that this sandbagged man opened the door to?
Beyond sandbagged.
Yeah.
Paisley?
Yeah.
Yellow?
Yeah.
Paisley's brown.
Uh-huh.
Paisley's were brown.
Uh-huh.
They were tapered, pleated, black slacks.
Uh-huh.
Don't remember the shoes. I think I blocked it out.
Yeah.
He walks out, and I go, hey. Hey.
with those eyes, I hope.
Yeah.
What's up? Yeah.
Hey. He's like, he's very soft spoken. So, hello. And I go, I'm not kidding. Just in the neighborhood, thought I'd stop by.
Great tone.
I said, where's the letters? I sent you a lot of fucking letters.
Uh-huh.
Where are they? You forgot?
Uh-huh.
You didn't write back? It wasn't important? I said, remember this earring? I had the earring. Remember I told you gave me?
The earring was in your ear.
Yeah. I pointed at it.
Yeah.
I said, did you forget about that? Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah.
So I took it out. I said, give me your hand. Put his hand out. I slapped it in his hand and I said, you go fuck yourself. Turned around, walked away. Very dramatic.
Uh-huh.
That is when you exit.
Yeah.
You don't linger.
Yeah.
You have done it. You have flown across
You're saying this as if this is a common thing, and that, you know, this, you've talked to other people that have done this, and this is an instruction. This is how it's done when people fly across countries.
Actually, I didn't really realize until this very moment how actually uncommon it is, to be honest. So I go and I do that, and I'm like, that's it. And I was like shaking, heart beating out of my chest. I'm like, fucking dude, I did it.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
And how dare you fucking fuck me? Like, in my mind, I'm like, so I'm storming down the street.
Yeah.
He dramatically comes running back. He's shaking, you know, he's got the shaky lip. Could you just please talk to me? Please talk to me. I said, no. No, I've said everything I need to say. You're a fucko. Fuck yourself. How dare you?
Yeah.
Of course, he, you know, is hot. So we talk. You go back to the canteen. He gets me a cup of coffee out of the machine.
Out of the machine.
Yeah.
Classy.
Uh-huh. So we sit down, we're having a cup of coffee. In walks a girl. Really well-dressed. The opposite of how I look. She's looks great. Tall, thin, I'm short. Horrible. I'm wearing the worst outfit. She walks in, she starts crying. She looks at me, looks at him, storms out.
This happened in the canteen.
Yep.
So something's up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I go, who the fuck was that?
Did she have the other ear?
So anyway, he was banging her. Whatever. I married him.
Huh?
You married him.
How does it go? How does it get from the canteen to marriage?
Well, I go back to Chicago. He ends up coming out to Chicago about 3 months later. We take the bus down to City Hall. So we get a dog. We adopt a dog, and we're in the park. We're in Lincoln Park. And these two actors from Second City walk by, and they're like, "Can we see your dog?" And I was like, "Yeah." His little German Shepherd puppy. So we start talking. They're like, "Do you know what Second City is?" I was like, "No, I had literally been in Chicago. I think at this point, like 2 months, 8 weeks, and he's out there now."
Yeah.
Here's an unbelievable fact. He bought a plane ticket to San Francisco and took a bus from San Francisco to Chicago because he thought San Francisco was right next to Chicago. It was just a side note.
This is good anyway, stock to marry into.
Yeah.
So wait, so you married him. You're there for what, less than a year in Chicago, and he flew out and he just said, fuck it, let's get married.
Yeah.
He needed a green card.
He did need a green card because he was there. You know, he ended up staying there. He's working under the table at some restaurants. He's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant chef.
How long did you stay married?
5 years.
Why'd you stop?
Well, I was an idiot.
You were an idiot.
No, he is.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you get, you know, and you're young and the fights and the thing and the... it just not good. I mean, I got married at 20 years old. Got divorced at 25 years old. And our birthday is one day apart.
So it just fizzled out. It was
there's big fights and, you know, all that crap and the separations and the walking in the rain and the crying and the garbage. Just like it was like one big Alanis Morissette video or something. It was just like a long, dramatic, and I finally
does that video start, you know, with your trip to England? Because I'd like that. That would be.
I guess
video.
It does now. I mean,
it should start there.
It's insane, right? To think about that.
And then do a time montage. Yeah. Thing.
Oh, by the way, found out his mother was the one stealing all of the letters and throwing them away because she knew how much he liked me. So, I was married to him, and then I was engaged to another guy in Chicago after that.
Kept trying.
Yeah, and I found him in a film with a man.
No.
Yeah.
How? What?
2.5 years.
You were engaged to him for how long?
We were together 2.5 years, engaged for a year.
And you're what? You're I'm Adam 20. Movie.
Oh no, I'm at home. He's jogging. And he jogged a lot, and I lived on the lake. Do you know Chicago very well?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I lived in Rogers Park, the end.
I like Rogers Park.
Okay.
That's where Main Stage Theater is. I play there a lot.
Oh, okay. Okay, so he would go jogging on the lake a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know what goes on the lake?
Cruising?
Yeah.
A little of that?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just I'm not saying I don't have facts, but you know, I did laundry,
mm-hmm.
and I would find numbers
mm-hmm.
of just numbers of guys.
Bruce, Doug, running buddies.
Yeah, he meets him running on the, and I said, you know, what's weird is I've run before.
Yeah,
in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't, no one has ever at any point in my entire life, I had this conversation with him. I said, no one has ever at any point in my entire life ever, ever ran up to me and handed me their number. It was like, that, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, these guys, we just run a lot, you know? Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. You meet a guy, you're running. And I said, who has a pen?
Yeah.
Who? Because that is, I literally was like, who has, do you have a scrap of paper and a pen on you? And when you run up, are you like, hey, you seem to be doing the same action I'm doing. Do you want to, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, four of those, four numbers. Running buddies. Fine. You let that go. Because you can't prove anything. If someone's saying that they just like to run and they make friends.
But your suspicion was raised a little, or were you just completely bearded out?
Well,
I guess a beard knows they're a beard. Were you in complete denial?
No, I didn't. First time I ever met him, he was in a gay play naked. He was on in a play on Belmont Avenue at this gay theater, and he did work at a gay bar. But wait, all of those things sound like this is maybe a gay guy.
Yeah, but.
But no, I mean, it was weird. It was like, I'm a real get inside your shit kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't I seem that way?
You did. Hey, seems like a rough sell now, but I'm following.
But you know,
I'm on board. Sure.
Wait.
This guy really threw you a curveball, I guess.
Yeah, because gay bar quit working at. Went back to school to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Okay, so he then, whatever, he just, bottom line, I'm at home. I'm unloading boxes.
Yeah.
We've been together for 2.5 years. We moved into this new place. We'd been there for like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
I'm unloading a box.
Yeah.
There's boxes.
You're engaged at this time.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a ring.
I do.
Mm.
On my hand.
Sure, unloading boxes with the ring on your hand.
Pull out a VHS.
Like a hand-done one or like a...
Well, it's a little indie, but it's done. Mm-hmm. Like someone...
It's a box, right.
Someone went to Kinko's.
You can buy
I'll
it.
Say that.
Okay. You can buy this. It would be in the rental section or...
I don't know about that. It's not that...
What's it called?
There was no name on it.
What was on the cover?
He was laying on a man, on a man's chest with three roses... And his name was on it, and the other guy's name was on it.
His real name?
Yeah.
So this was not like for, this was like a love letter between two men. It wasn't like available for.
No, I'll tell you exactly what it was. It wasn't, I don't think it was available for, I don't think you could go to Blockbuster.
So did you throw it in the VHS?
Sure did.
Yeah, you did.
Sure did.
Uh-huh, and how was
sure
that?
Sure did. Couldn't get it in there fast enough.
Yeah. That's one of those things you want to do quick.
Real, real quick. I couldn't get it out of the box fast. I couldn't get shit on fast enough.
Engagement ring shaking with
shaking.
Your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't just, you want to do it so fast.
Yeah.
I put it in. I play. I'm in front. It's literally, I'm standing alone. It was daylight.
Watching your fiance.
Doing acting. There's some acting going on.
That's how it opens.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Apparently it's a student film for Columbia College. And there's a scene in front of a fireplace.
Yeah. These two guys.
My fiance in underwear
and
nothing else.
Yeah.
And the man, the other man in underwear and nothing else.
Uh-huh.
And then some dancing starts. Just they start
moving. So you're thinking still an art film? Maybe.
At this point, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess that was answered for you.
They start making out. Now, I can't help that I'm kind of turned on
because
that's who I am as a lady.
Yeah.
But I'm very aware that that's my fiance. Mm-hmm. And I'm also aware that that is not what I was aware of. No one has ever.
Not in the agreement. Not new knowledge, new information, as our friend would say. New information.
New information.
Mm-hmm.
No one at any time ever in 2.5 years ever said, hey, Rebecca, just a side note, I did a gay film.
Mm-hmm. Did he do it a long time ago?
Apparently it was 2 years before I met him.
Okay. No relief there.
Nope. So I'm looking for boners because I want to know. I know you're acting, but I also want to know if you have a boner. Now, I know I've learned from a very young age, boners don't mean a lot. Boners are not something you should be flattered by.
Yeah.
They happen.
They come and go.
So I'm thinking if he has a boner, it's still not, like in my brain, I'm thinking this is, I was thinking so many.
Did he have a boner?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He did. It was not out. There was no jerking or sucking or any of that stuff.
Yet or at all?
Well, here's what's unbelievable. This is the part that literally, it hurts me. I stopped it when he ended up laying on top of the guy in a bed.
Yeah.
Chest on chest.
Yeah.
Boxers to boxers.
Yeah.
Making out pretty good.
Yeah.
I stopped it. It's something I regret for the rest of my life. Because I don't know. I to this day, I do not know. I stopped it. I was so outraged that I took it out. I put it in and I waited for him to get home. And when he got home, I sat him down.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, how was your day?
Hey. You said, hey. Yeah. How was your day?
How was your day?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
Good. Was it? Was it?
Was it good?
It's a good day.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
How's yours? Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mine was wonderful, my day.
Yeah.
Is there anything at all, if I were to ask you right now, that you have failed to tell me? There's a tiny little piece of you, a little tiny piece of information that you could think of if I were to ask you, is there anything on earth that you would want to tell me?
Yeah.
Does anything come to mind?
Yeah.
No. He's like, no. Uh-huh. Why? No? Not one thing.
Yeah.
No? Not, you can't think of a single fucking thing.
Yeah.
No.
Uh-huh.
I had the tape.
Yeah.
I go, bam, what about that? What about you having a boner with a man? That doesn't ring a bell? His face was like, he was horrified.
Yeah.
He saw that.
This is before the internet. This guy leave a tape around.
Student film. Why would I tell you about that? Student film. Why would I? I swear to you. Why would I? I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. That is an important detail to tell somebody that you intend on spending the rest of your life with, that you happen to have a boner with a man and it was filmed. How does that escape you? How does that escape you?
He didn't say, so you didn't watch the whole movie?
He didn't. He did not.
Oh, boy.
And I never did watch the whole movie. I'm so mad about it.
So what happened?
He basically, this is what's insane, is that in the end, I believed him. And he basically was just like, it was a student film. And you know, is what it is. And I didn't do anything wrong.
He loved
and,
the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. Mm. But, you know, yeah, and then I stayed with him for like another 6 months, and then I was like, you know what, it's a wrap on that. I'm done.
Why, because more numbers, more running?
No, just everything. I just couldn't shake it all off. It was a lot. It was a lot. And I've said to him, you know, have you ever had a penis in your mouth? I want to know right now. Have you? And I said, and you don't know, it's not anything to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
I just want you to tell me, have you ever put a penis in your mouth? I have the right to know that. I have a ring on my finger.
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
Did you ask him did you ever tell him if you ever put a penis?
Yeah, and I was like, have you ever touched a man? Have you ever wanted to be with a man? Are you a gay man? Are you gay? If you're gay, just tell me. We can totally be friends. That's a total lie. But I was saying, like... we can be friends, but you just have to tell me.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, no, I am not. And I said, have you ever wanted to? You aren't living it, obviously, but have you ever wanted to? When you jog and you meet a man, what does that make you feel? He was like, Rebecca, you are fucking making shit up. There's nothing I'm going to ever say that's going to make you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life. I said, you may want to be with me for the rest of your life, but you may want to put your dick inside of a man, and that's fine. But what I'm asking you to do is tell me. Anyway, it didn't work out.
Rough morning a bit.
Well, it was actually afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I moved to back home briefly to Seattle for a minute, and then moved to LA.
Now, have you ever done any research on that guy? Where mm-hmm. that? And
5 years ago, I learned that if you put a person's name in Google, but you put the things around it,
the
quotes, yeah. the it will narrow down the search.
Yeah. Okay.
Looked him up.
Yeah.
He's now teaching at a college in a suburb. He's teaching girls basketball. Married, two kids.
Did you keep the tape?
I didn't. Anyway, what does that say? It says that I was wrong. I could have walked away from a guy who was really willing to be dedicated to me for the rest of his life.
You don't know that that's true.
Married two kids.
So what? Some of the greatest gay men in the world have been married with kids.
I moved back to Seattle for a minute
mm-hmm.
and saved money and moved to LA.
And started doing comedy.
Literally, like 3 months after I got here, I had an agent, and she said, go do stand-up comedy at the Improv. Didn't even know what the Improv was. She said it's a showcase for a thing called the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Uh-huh.
First time I ever did stand-up comedy was at the Improv.
Yeah.
I did 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I got accepted into the Montreal Comedy Festival.
And you went. New faces.
New faces.
How'd that go?
Great. Great. Did a guest star on Anthony Clark. You know,
yeah.
He was hosting it.
Yep.
He put me on Yes Dear. Did a first guest star from there. I mean, I did a lot. I got a movie. I did a lot of good stuff after that.
Uh-huh.
Then completely mismanaged.
All right. So you had a good run.
Yeah, had a good run. Now I'm an advocate, an activist on top of all that.
And you do good comedy. You open for me. You're funny.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me do that.
Yeah.
That was a good... You have a loyal following of people who love you so much. You're so lucky. I have like 12, I think, people who are like into me.
Well, you're just not out there enough.
Yeah, well...
So tell me about the advocacy. What's the group called?
Well, my foundation is called the Stand Up for Pits Foundation.
And you basically deal with abused pits.
Yes, pit bulls. Pit bulls, yeah. They're my favorite.
And you have an abuse victim.
I do. I love her so much. Every time I think of you and her, I just remember when we were playing. What were we playing? Tile Rummy?
Yeah. Something like that.
And she walked on the tiles and you went, nope. And you put two fingers between her eyes and she just stopped.
New thing for her.
It made me laugh so hard. You just went, nope. It was like...
I thought it was kind.
It was amazing. It was two fingers in between her eyes and she just sort of froze. She like thought about it. Like, this is weird.
Continue to walk across
the aisle. And then I'm going to walk across. Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty awesome. So, yeah, it's all inspired by her. And, you know,
How'd you get her?
People are fucked up. I got her through a small rescue group. I had lost a dog and I was devastated by it. And I started going on a few weeks after my other dog passed away.
Uh-huh.
I went online and just read about her story and contacted the rescue. And someone had apparently, you know, home cropped her ears, either, I don't know, razor blades, scissors,
uh-huh.
whatever.
Uh-huh.
And someone dumped battery acid all over her back. And so she was a mess and she'd had her knee replaced. A rescue did pull her, but they kept her alive in the South Central shelter for like 2 months, which is unheard of. And so they were like, will you foster her? Because she just got her knee replaced. And so I said, yeah. And of course, like 3 weeks later, I was absolutely in love with her. And then I started learning about how people hate them so much. And I'd be walking down the street and people would be bolting to the other side of the street. And I would be like, what the fuck is going on? What is going on? And I would, you know, if a kid was walking toward me, the parent would, and I was like, what? I had no idea. I just was like, and finally I said to someone, what the fuck is your problem? Like, is this, you got a problem? And since then I've learned to talk to the public a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
But I learned people fear these dogs for their life, and it's absolutely insane. It's absurd, and it's mainly the media. And so I dedicated 1 year of my life to organize the first ever March on Washington. I've permitted the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol myself. We got crazy 13, like the average age dog fighter is like 13 to 21 years old. They're young boys are fighting dogs and mutilating them and lighting them on fire and fighting them in trunks of cars and fighting them in U-Hauls. And it's insane. And it's like, oh, our government has spent tons of money on studies that show that if you abuse an animal, the chances of you abusing a human is very likely that you will go on to commit a crime.
So it's a societal problem.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm not a very political kind of gal.
Yeah.
I'm not really into that.
Uh-huh.
But I just hate discrimination. And I hate that, you know, angry people, scared, fearful people are so quick to say, let's, you know, kill them all. Oh, one bit of kid, we'll kill it. Kill them all. It's like, it's insane. So I've taken a lot of crap for it. It's not a popular cause. It's not, when you say the word pit bull,
yeah,
immediately people are like, so.
What's the flack you get?
Well, I've had death threats.
From?
People who hate pit bulls. They've said, I hope, you know.
People who are victims of pit bulls?
I've never met or ever spoken to a person who's a victim of a pit bull, and I certainly don't. I would never. If a pit bull hurt a human, I certainly don't think that that's okay. I don't think that an animal hurting an animal or an animal hurting a person or vice versa is okay, by any means. But I also think knowledge and facts are important. And you know, for over three decades, this breed is the most targeted breed in the world. They're banned everywhere. They can be seized from your hands as you're walking down the street in Canada, and it's insane. So yeah, it's been a huge part of my life, and it's the flack is just like, you know, you don't. I guess, I mean, have you ever stood up for something that you really, really believe in? There's always people that hate
you. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they'll hate you just for believing in yourself. You feel good?
Yeah, I can't wait for my dad to hear it. Do you think he has a radio?
He'd need a computer.
Oh.
He's not going to hear it.
Yeah. I feel like I think that a lot of people learned stuff today.
Sure. Sure. About a lot of things. You know, how to, you know, stalk someone internationally. The momentum needed. The right. Telltale signs that someone you might be engaged to is gay.
Right.
The need for more finger banging.
Right. What else did we really did.
Mobile gums. We learned about mobile gums. We learned about also...
animal abuse activism.
But yeah, and specifically the job of plugging the holes on the planes.
With putty.
With putty. And that...
we hate Delta.
Yeah, Delta's bad. You know, grabbing your child by the neck is abuse, but sometimes you can't do anything about it because mommy's simple.
That's exactly... I see you have a needlepoint thing there. I may actually needlepoint that up. Mommy is
simple. Are you conscious of the fact that you had that traumatic experience when you were a young teenager with that dog that your father abused? Do you see that as a source to your activism?
I see it as the absolute 100% source of why I do this, because the dog's name was Jones. I can't even talk about the dog with my sister or any.
Yeah.
It's like something that it's this really gross, dark secret.
Uh-huh.
So it's something I wake up thinking about. I have nightmares about.
Still.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's a horrible, 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 horrible feeling. And it's a 100%. I think it's what definitely without question, it's what makes me, it gives me the strength to continue on when people are being like, when I'm getting bombarded by the animals, the stupid idiots in the animal community or idiots that hate pit bulls or idiots in general telling me I don't know what I'm doing or doing it wrong or whatever. I think that that experience carrying it with me through for years, still being disgustedly haunted by it, enraged by it. Yeah, because I feel that, you know, obviously my cause is for pit bulls, because I feel like in a lot of ways they're like that dog. They have no voice. They're innocent. They're being, they have, there is no way for them, that the underdog, they are never ever going to be, unless someone stands up and does something, they're never ever going to be saved. But why are you laughing? It's getting
I'm getting choked up because you're,
are you?
Well, you're the underdog too.
Well,
thank you. Man, she's full of the beans, that Rebecca Corey. That was fun. Look, folks, as always, WTFpod.com for all your WTF Pod needs. If you're new to the show, go get that free app. Upgrade to premium. Stream them all. Do it up. Leave some comments. Do whatever you want. Buy some merch. My hands are tingling. Maybe it's because I drink too much. Pow! Look out. I just shit my pants. JustCoffee.co-op. Available at WTF Pod. Get the WTF blend. I get a little on the back end there. I seem kind of chipper, but I'm a little out of my mind. Oh, tonight, I'm Aaron on IFC. Boomer lives!